Welcome to Life in the 614, the official lifestyle and entertainment podcast of the Columbus Dispatch, where we provide a taste of upcoming arts, entertainment, and leisure activities throughout Central Ohio. This is Earl Hopkins, features reporter at the Dispatch. And on this week's episode, we have undoubtedly one of the greatest minds and most interesting men on the planet, essentially. He's the host of Star Talk, a best-selling author, and director of the Hayden Planetarium in New York City. I welcome Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson. How you doing, Neil?
Hi, thanks for having me on the show. Delighted.
You've actually graced us with your presence because you're set to take center stage at the Historic Palace Theater in downtown Columbus for a live show on September 21st. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, it's first, I'm never grow accustomed to the idea that I can show up at a theater and thousands of people can be there and listen to me speak about astrophysics for an hour and a half. That's just weird. I'm delighted that people have that level of curiosity. But not only that, that I can serve that curiosity as sort of people's collective conduit to the cosmos. That's how I'd like to think of it. And for that show, it's one of my favorite talks that I'll be giving. It's called An Astrophysicist Goes to the Movies. And what I'll do is I collect all these clips from movies that we've all seen, that we all know about, and even some movies that you haven't heard about, and just comment on the science that they might have accidentally gotten right, like not on purpose, or on the science that they should have gotten right but got wrong. And you learn about some science along the way. So it's a fun time had by all. And so I look forward to showing up for that.
Yes. And roughly about 6 years ago, I think it was, I watched a video of you giving a breakdown of one of my favorite movies of all time, Interstellar, by one of my favorite directors as well, Christopher Nolan. So once you did that video, did that inspire you to do the live show, or was it always something you've done or planned to do going forward?
Yeah, that's a great question. I've always sort of collected in a satchel. You know, anytime I see a movie, I have a satchel. I say, oh, I didn't get that right, and I toss that in the satchel. Or I say, hey, they did really good there, and I put that in the satchel. And I've been carrying this through my life, all right? And I said, you know, I got to do something with this. And so I put it together to create an entire sort of show that works in theaters, you know, and so many cities have these sort of grand dam theaters that have been retooled and usually renovated so that you can have concerts in them and public talks and comedians show up. So I'm delighted that they've become a modern source of community, if you will.
Yes. And given your analysis as an astrophysicist and experience among Hollywood's elite, and clearly as a fan of cinema, do you ever think directors will have the courage or creative freedom to actually be more grounded as far as when they're essentially making a film based on a space adventure or intergalactic voyage? Or do you think, because of fans' expectations or just the pressures that producers place on them, that they always have to have like a little bit of, you know, wild or unrealistic action? Like, what's your thoughts on that?
That's another excellent question. So it's a little of both, because I think there's already some pressure for people to get their science right, because there's a huge geek community out there. Okay, I don't know if you've ever been to a Comic-Con convention, like especially the one in San Diego. Hundreds of thousands of people show up, and everybody is paying attention to whatever details you put in your sci-fi adventure. And they'll talk about you if you could have gotten it right and you didn't. Right. And by the way, there's some things that I'm ready to go with you on your science fantasy. I'll give you an example. In Star Wars, The Force Awakens, there's the new and improved Death Star that doesn't only destroy one planet. It can destroy like 10 planets, like all the planets in a solar system. You say, oh, that badass. Whoa. How do they do that? Well, they have this device that sucks energy from a star. All right. And so the star disappears. All the energy is in the Death Star, and the Death Star then sends out this beam that destroys the whole solar system. You say, wow. And I did a calculation. I said, wait a minute. Do you know how much energy there is in a star? If you took all the energy out of a star, you could destroy 1,000 planets. Right? It's way more diabolical than even they had imagined for their storyline. And so that's the kind of comments I'll put into a movie if I were asked by a director, and I'm certainly going to talk about them in my public talks.
Yes, and I was going to ask you, have you ever been tapped to act as kind of a consultant on a major Hollywood film? And if so, were they actually willing to change the script or an action sequence to, again, better align with science?
Well, so I have a soft underbelly for artists who reach out to me that say, you know, I want to sprinkle science in my project. It could be a painting, a sculpture, a script, or set design. And could you help me? And I just come running. And because they didn't have to ask me, they could have just made stuff up. But I try to get inside their own creative angle so that whatever is the fantasy, we can keep the fantasy, but on the edges, put some good science in there, and maybe the science will enable you, empower you to tell an even better story. So I'll just give an example. I've actually had cameos in 5 or 6 feature-length films. It's a brief cameo, nothing, you know, I wasn't snubbed by the Academy at the end of the year because we're not getting an award. I'm not pretending that I'm a great actor, but it added a little bit of authenticity to the film. I have a brief spot in Batman versus Superman. I play myself, and I'm in an interview debating how Superman, who's an alien, why are we doing what he says? Mm-hmm. Whereas Batman is human, first of all, and he is accountable to the chief of police, who's appointed by the mayor, who we all elect. So Batman has accountability, Superman doesn't. So it's an interesting philosophical. So I was part of that debate. I was delighted to contribute to it. And almost always, when I make script recommendations, provided I stay in the spirit of where they're coming from, they will take the recommendations. And I'm delighted by that energy and enthusiasm and how much they actually want to embrace real science.
That's awesome.
By the way, it's not just sci-fi movies. There are plenty of this. There's like science in the movie A Bug's Life.
Mm-hmm.
There's actual quality physics going on in that film, and I show clips from that, right? So it's not just what happened in Interstellar, which is, or the movie The Martian, which is deeply embedded in science and engineering. There are plenty of movies you would have never thought in the movie Monsters, Inc., okay? Where each monster, it's a Pixar, right? Each monster goes home with a door, because this factory produces doors. And what is that door? It's the door to the closet in a kid's room, and they go into the closet and scare the kid. And so that door that they take home is a portal. It's a wormhole through the space-time continuum. Because wherever you are, if you have that door, open the door, you're in the kid's closet. That's brilliant. And nowhere in that movie do they make a big deal of that. And I'm sitting there saying, whoa, that is good. I got to tell people about this. So the whole talk is just, it's a celebration of all of these efforts, successful or otherwise, to put science in people's storytelling in film.
Yes. And I can say for me personally, I'm looking forward to a Marvel Cinematic Universal cameo on your end too. I think that'll really be exciting, especially as they extend more into outer space and like different multiverses and things of that nature. So I'm looking forward to that potentially.
A quick comment on Marvel versus DC, because there's a whole split in that superhero universe there. So if you notice, other than Thor, essentially every Marvel hero, superhero, attained their abilities through some pathway of science. And whereas in DC, that's not so much.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at Spider-Man, right? He was bitten by a radioactive spider in a lab when he was there. And you look at the Hulk, he was playing with gamma rays, and he's a medical doctor, right? And you look at Dr. Oct, and he's a brilliant scientist. And of course, Iron Man, right? You look at this and you say, whoa, someone in Marvel is thinking about science. That's a good thing. I'm biased, of course. I think it's good when people think about science. But science is it underpins the arc of civilization that we are in the middle of creating. And if you don't have that science literacy or appreciation, you know, we should all just move back to the cave, because that's where we'd still be if some people in society didn't actually feel that way from the beginning.
Absolutely. And Neil, millions of young kids and adults of all ages look to you as an engaging scientist and intellect, right? But they also look at you as like an intellectual role model, as Mark Chartrain III was for you when you were younger, right? In New York. And so with that, how excited is it for you to get that in-person interaction with your fans, especially given the previous restrictions in place for COVID-19? How exciting is that?
Oh, my
for
gosh.
You?
it's been a year and a half. So I'm chomping at the bit, ready to get back into that, into these theater spaces and share this energy I have. Yeah, Mark Chartrand III was director of the Hayden Planetarium when I was a kid, and I'm now director of that very same Hayden Planetarium. He was a scientist and educator, and so he wasn't a mentor for me. He was just visible to me, and I saw what he did and how he spoke and what he knew, and I said, if I'm ever going to be a scientist, I want to be that kind of scientist. So I don't take that role lightly. I see it as a duty. No, it's an honor to be in the same place for others that scientists and educators of the past have been for me.
Absolutely. And Neil, thank you for taking the time with us. I know you got to go, but I appreciate every minute, every second you've been with us. Great insight and entertaining as always. So thank you and have a nice day.
Excellent. Thanks for your interest. Bye.
All right. Bye.